course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on fourth down and one.
So, anyways, with that, time, George.
Normally what I do in this third game is play the guys somewhere in that first half. At times I'll have them come out for the third quarter. They'll prepare that way, the ones will. And then we let the twos and the threes work in from there as we choose.
Welcome to Fourth and One. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. That, ladies and gentlemen, was Andy Reid discussing how they're going to get ready or how they plan to use their players in the San Francisco game, the final home preseason game for the Kansas City Chiefs upcoming on Saturday. Nick, are you worried that, D Ford is going to flex a little bit, or is he even going to play?
I don't know. I haven't really kept tabs on his tendonitis in his knee, so I'm not 100% sure where he's even at this point.
So,
I just want to know, will he be on sides? Ooh, hot mic.
That's too soon, Nick. That's too soon, man. I don't think the fans have got enough time and distance between that one.
All right.
So I know I haven't. real quick though, last week the starters were supposed to play a full half, and then because of they didn't. Let's just put it that way, they didn't. Do you think it's important at all for any reason, whether it's chemistry, whether it's shaking off rust, is it important that they get the reps, the full half reps, play into the third quarter, like Andy was talking about, or at this point, do you think it's all window dressing until September 8th?
I mean, for me personally, in other years when you're trying to establish your scheme and your system, I could understand needing to do that. Like with Mahomes last year, needing to get that game experience that didn't matter in terms of if he threw an interception or not. I totally get it. But with where this team's mindset and mentality is to where you're trying to go for a Super Bowl run, your biggest enemy is injuries right now. Like that's the enemy. You can get good work and practice and in a controlled environment, and you can get that. I understand from a game situation, you may want to get two or three series. I totally get that. But I would not risk him into the third quarter like some years when Andy's been able to do. And it wasn't a risk at the time because you didn't have as much at stake as you do this year.
Yeah. Obviously, some reinforcements were brought in this week.
Yeah.
I know one of them. You seem to be a fan of Jeff Allen.
Yes.
And, they brought him back. Look, we saw Dino Boyd had some bright moments against...
Yeah, so does Pace Murphy.
Too. Yeah, against Pittsburgh. But... not ready to be a backup swing tackle in this league. Cam Irving also showed it's not a role that he's probably going to thrive in either.
Right.
I know maybe a guy like Andrew Wiley or somebody like that, could be in there, but he's your starting left guard. So do you like adding Jeff Allen back in? I mean, he's a guy who can get up to speed with what Andy Heck wants pretty quick.
Yeah. I mean, Jeff is a guy who understands how to play multiple positions. I mean, I remember at some of the training camps in yesteryears, he was at center and took snaps at center. He took snaps at guard. And here's the thing, at center, the two things you look at whenever you're watching that in practice is how well do they snap the ball? How many times is there issue on the quarterback center exchange? And then are they able to snap and step and make their correct footwork that they need to? It's insanely hard. If you've never done it, you don't know how much it messes with
you. You don't know.
I actually do because I did snap, and then they had me in for like five snaps in high school, and I was like, can you guys just move me back to left guard? I don't enjoy this at all. This is too much.
Yeah.
Too much. I can't walk and chew gum, okay?
Yeah.
Right? One or the other. Having Jeff, I mean, he could play swing tackle for him. Veteran that can come in. He did last year whenever Fisher that had the injury, and Jeff went in at left tackle for a little bit for him against Khalil Mack and held up. So, yeah, I mean, Jeff's a veteran. He wants to win a Super Bowl ring, and he made sure he stayed in condition.
All right, let's hear from Jeff Allen about re-signing with the Chiefs.
It was just a good time in my life. Between me and my family, we felt like, this is an opportunity where, I get a chance to win a Super Bowl with a great organization, with great people that we love and like, good teammates, good coaches, front office, everything.
That was Jeff Allen talking about why he decided to come back and play for the Chiefs. My big question is, will Homeless Dave be bringing him two games to make sure he gets there?
I don't know. I don't know where Dave's at exactly. We'll have to contact Stephen Dial.
Hopefully he's doing well. Yeah, Stephen's in Dallas.
I've talked to him since he's been there. It's okay. You can still talk to him.
No, yeah, no. I mean,
treat him like a friend still.
Yeah, no. We still we chat every once in a while through through
the interwebs?
Through all the social media avenues and private messages and whatnot. Is the signing of Jeff Allen a sign of some problems with the depth of the offensive line, or what do you feel like precipitated Brett Veach saying, "Hey, I got to make this move"?
I think they had this available if they wanted for quite some time, and I think they finally decided now that we're getting into the part where it's things are getting legit, and you're a couple weeks out from the regular season, and you want to get them in condition. And all I can say is that there's some veterans, man. They just need a couple weeks. I mean, they know how to train their body, especially when you're offensive, defensive lineman. The toll it takes on your body playing football for 20 some weeks of contact. I mean, I know some football players back in the day that told me they needed 4 or 5 months of rest just to feel normal again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, whenever you're in a high collision contact sport like that, I mean, there's not going to be players that aren't going to be against being able to get that much rest to be able to stay healthy while also training but not having that physical, run into a wall for 20 weeks.
The best analogy I've heard, and this goes way back to when I was in college at William Jewell and just talking to a buddy of mine who played on the football team. He said, it's basically like being in a car wreck every weekend. And, then you've got to recover from the whiplash, the bumps, the bruises, the whatever, and then you go and you wreck the car again the next weekend. And you do that for 10, 12, in the case of NFL players, 20 straight weeks if you're playing preseason and regular season, and maybe even more, if you make a run in the playoffs. So, obviously the Chiefs know what they're getting in Jeff Allen.
Yeah.
They also know what they're getting in one DeAnthony Thomas. DeAnthony Thomas, another former Chiefs player, another veteran who was brought back. First of all, let's just hear a reaction from Dave Tobe and from Eric Bieniemy about bringing him back into the fold.
It's really been up in the air, but I just stayed patient, disciplined with myself, with just training my body and stuff like that, and just getting ready. And I never knew what was gonna happen. I just stayed focused and stayed disciplined and just handled what I had to do.
He does a lot more than he's not just a returner. He's a cover guy. He's a gunner. He's good on kickoff and he can block, and he's not afraid to stick his head in there.
He's been with our organization for a number of years. He knows the culture. He knows the system. He understands how we do things. So it's important to get somebody back, but also somebody that can bring some juice. This kid loves to play football. He loves to practice. He enjoys it. That's the type of people and character that we want.
That was DeAnthony Thomas, Dave Tobe, and Eric Bieniemy talking about re-signing.
Tobe made sure to mention a lot of special teams roles.
I was going
to
say, do you think that they envision a special teams role for DeAnthony Thomas?
I think if that's about as close as a potential roster lock as you're going to get in terms of how he phrased, hey, you can play this special team and that special team. You can return. You can do this. You can do that. I mean, don't get me wrong. DeAnthony's a good gunner when he's healthy. I'm not going to dispute that.
And look, you can't dismiss the timing. Marcus Kemp gets hurt, done for the season, ACL torn, and within a few days they bring back a guy that is reliable that can basically replace Kemp, and depending on how he's healed from those broken legs, maybe even bring more speed to the table at that position. So again.
Now, to be clear, we're talking about broken leg two different years.
No,
there's somebody out there going to be like, he broke both legs last year?
Yeah.
But now, yeah. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, not that we're aware. But, I mean, he's that takes a toll on you. Just like the ACL will take a toll on Marcus Kemp when he comes back, assuming he comes back next year and is ready to go in training camp. But do you like the addition of DeAnthony Thomas, and what do you think that does to the wide receiver depth? I know coming out of the Pittsburgh game, you were really high on maybe Cody Thompson's chances of making the roster. Now I got to think his spot is in jeopardy all over again.
See, here's kind of my question in this regard. I understand it from a special teams perspective, totally get that aspect of it, but Cody Thompson to me is a better route runner, and Byron Pringle is a better route runner than DeAnthony Thomas is, and I believe both of them could contribute more to the offense. And here's the other thing, you got Tremont Smith too, that you're potentially maybe used a running back, wide receiver, returner, special teams, who knows? You only have so many, you got to make a roster. I feel like you're going to have to make a roster decision between Tremont, Pringle, and DeAnthony. What are you going to do? Which one do you need more? Because they're, in my book, they're all going to be playing essentially the same role.
I mean, honestly, when they moved Tramon to the running back and then they talked about using him some at wide receiver too, my first thought was he's DeAnthony Thomas 2.0. I mean, they envision him being in that return and then utility knife,
right?
You know, Swiss Army knife role on the offense. And so you're right. I mean, I don't know that you need both of those guys on the roster, but if you weren't planning on keeping DeAnthony Thomas, I don't know why you bring him back at this point in training camp either. So
yeah, I'm interested to see how they go with those three players, because Cody Thompson, I think he's a really good route runner. I think he's come a long way. So I'm curious to see. I think he has a opportunity to be on the team. I mean, I hope he can make practice squad. Not 100% sure if he'll pass through waivers.
Another interesting development this week. The Chiefs. You know, Andy Reid, been in the NFL game for a long, long time. He was part of a very, very famous Green Bay Packers staff that included, what, John Gruden, Steve Mariucci. You name a coach in the 90s, early 2000s that was fairly significant. Good chance they were an assistant coach under Mike Holmgren in the late 80s, early 90s.
Or came from that tree at some point.
With the Packers. And so there was another quarterback that Patrick Mahomes has drawn a lot of comparisons to for his gunslinger style of play. And apparently, Brett Favre just came through Kansas City and is a big fan of Patrick Mahomes, just like most of Kansas City.
Possibly. Mm-hmm.
So what do you think he said to Patrick?
Keep on keeping on. No,
Stay off social media.
Told him he really needs to get one of those Wrangler jeans commercials. you want to talk?
You want to catch a pass for me on my farm with the dogs?
and then he told him about that razor that he's doing a commercial.
No, I was going to say, I wonder if he's like Patrick, you need to grow a beard.
But no, I mean it's cool in the fact that they're both kind of compared to one another in some regards, and Andy got to experience time with both of them. So I think for Mahomes, I think it was a way to do an introduction, but also have somebody that he can, who's gone through a similar scheme, has been coached by Andy as well, has been through the ups and downs of it all, and has been able to win a Super Bowl and get as close as possible and lose. You know, Favre's lost some NFC Championship games, and he's lost some playoff games.
And he can
help Mahomes through some of those things. So I think it's another one of those sounding boards in some regard. And I know this will never happen, but man, if Favre ever wanted to be a quarterback's coach, in the words of Matthew McConaughey, it'd be a lot cooler if he did, man. Yeah,
that would be amazing. Let's hear Andy Reid's reaction to Favre meeting his new gunslinger.
You know, it was an opportunity for him to meet Patrick and talk with him, and they could share experiences with each other, you know. And then I had an opportunity to shoot the breeze with him a little bit, got him some Q39, you know, welcome to Kansas City, and we went from there. So it was all good. It was nice to see him. He's in great shape. Looks like he still can play. Well, let's start that rumor.
That was Andy Reid talking about Brett Favre, who apparently they've already signed two veterans this week. Do you think Chad Henne's job's in trouble?
No. I think Favre's enjoying his time of not playing football anymore. I'm not saying I wouldn't think he'd ever want to be around it, maybe as a coach. Maybe. That'd be fun. But no, I think Brett's kind of enjoying family life and not having to worry about getting beaten like a human pinata like he did in that Saints game.
So let me ask, though. I mean, there was a little controversy there. Andy Reid taking him to Q39. Do you agree with that barbecue decision?
You're assuming that they took him to Q39.
Well, but he specifically singled out Q39. Do you agree with that decision? That's the question.
I feel like Andy has tried a lot of barbecues around here. It's just that specific day. That's the one.
Okay, let me rephrase
the
question.
Don't forget Peter King.
Where would you have taken Brett Favre for a barbecue dinner in Kansas City?
See, look, here's...
No. Nick Jacobs, it's a simple question.
Is it now?
Where would you have taken Favre for a barbecue dinner?
I know where you would have taken him. That's not where I would.
Where do you think I would have taken him?
You would have taken him to Joe's King.
That's an incorrect answer. I would have taken him to Elsie's.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. You do like that one, too. Touche. I totally forgot about that. Look, man, you already know that. I mean, if I want to have a nice sit-down meal that's classy, then go to Q39.
All right.
Doesn't mean I don't like the barbecues.
Okay. So were you there with Andy and Brett?
No, I wasn't there with Andy and Brett Favre.
All right. We're going to get to the bottom of this before the B block here on 4th and 1.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza.
Safety, it's our number one concern. For us, our family, and for those around us. But the violence all over the metro is not going away. At 41 Action News, we hope to change the conversation. That's why we started Safe KC, focusing on stories of hope, stories with positive impact, highlighting the people finding solutions to the problem. Because when that happens, we all win. Watch Safe KC, only on 41 Action News and KSHB.com.
In a city where anything can happen, you deserve the truth. We don't just report the stories, we find the stories, never backing down. Never shutting down. Getting the answers you deserve. This is our promise to you. Every day. Every night.
Stand by. 3, 2, 1.
41 Action News at 10. Clear, complete coverage. Gary Lezak and the 41 Action News weather team. Kansas City's most accurate.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Nick, I hear Elvis is coming tomorrow, and we are going to have Q39. I do not think Brett Favre will be at our Not Hot Dog Friday here at the office, though.
You need to tell people what exactly the event is, because people aren't going to
understand. It's Not Hot Dog Friday. Like, we're having a little, it's a little office luncheon thing. And
Now we're getting to the description part.
And I'm going to dress up like Elvis and perform in front of my coworkers. And it's either going to be really amazing, or it's going to be terrifying.
Is it going to be a karaoke machine, or you've been working on this all week?
It'll be a karaoke machine. I picked a song last night. So, I wouldn't say I've been working on it all all week.
I feel like you've been at home, like, you know, choreographing it together and everything.
No, I mean, I've watched some, like, live performances of Elvis to kind of get a feel for how he moves.
Pronounced Liv. Thanks.
So, yeah, but I've watched the Liv performances, and I'm ready to rock it.
I love to do that to people, because people are like, what? What are you talking about?
I've been around you long enough I knew how to roll with that.
Some people haven't been.
Do you want to hear my Elvis?
No, I can't say that I do.
Okay, do you want to hear from Eric Bieniemy and Patrick Mahomes on what they expect from this Saturday's preseason game against the San Francisco 49ers?
Sounds like a much better idea.
I'm looking forward to watching our guys get back in sync and in rhythm. I want to watch them handle the sudden change. I didn't think we did a good job of handling the schedule of last week collectively as a group. One thing I think that we've, with that happening, through some bad times, you can always find some good things. And by experiencing that schedule being pushed back, having to start over and hit the reset button a few times, I think it's taught us something. And so we got to make sure that we're living up to expectations by eliminating the distractions. Let's make sure we stay focused, stay poised. The rest will take care of itself. But what I am anticipating is that we come out and play hard and play focused together.
Yeah, I think just being a little bit more successful as an offense this next week, and that's not necessarily scoring points, but just moving the ball and not making as many mistakes as a whole. I feel like last week we were just off here and there on certain plays, and when you're not on that perfect sync, it makes you pay in the game.
That was Eric Bieniemy and Patrick Mahomes. Not really thrilled with their performance against
but
Pittsburgh.
That's a good thing.
I was highly disappointed that in the one series Patrick Mahomes wasn't in, that
furious.
He didn't throw a 120-yard touchdown. Very, very disappointed. I don't think you put too much stock in it. The one thing I do kind of like about this, I don't think you're going to see a lot from either team, but this will be, you know, a team that has seen Patrick Mahomes last year. You know, they may be trying to get some work for their guys, and really, this is a great opportunity for the San Francisco 49ers to kind of see what they've got, especially in their secondary against one of the best in the league. So they might do some things that'll make this a little more interesting than your normal game, since they've already had that experience. I'll also, hopefully, for Jimmy Garoppolo's sake, he'll get through this game healthy, because, of course, it was the game in Kansas City last year when he got hurt and tore his ACL and was out for the season.
I hope he's not listening to this podcast right now thinking of that.
Well, I'm just saying, Jimmy G, I don't want to see guys get hurt.
Yeah, I don't either, but we don't have to remind them of it. Way to go, Todd. For what I want to see from this game, I want to see sharp, crisp offense, move the ball down the field, you get a touchdown. Maybe we do another drive, then let's get everybody out at that point. I don't need any of you in there. And then defensively, obviously, you want to see as many of the guys out there. You want to see a good rush. And then if they can get a 3-and-out, that'd be cool. But, I mean, you know, I want to see some aggressive defense overall.
Is it more important in your mind to see the defense get more time together, since one, that's the side of the ball, which I almost think there was a, you know, I wasn't quite sure. Maybe it was just, maybe it's just me, but I thought Eric Bieniemy said something about the Sutton change, not the sudden change in his quote.
Stop.
And it got me a little nervous. But is because there's been so much turnover on the defense, is it more important that they get time together, that they get a little more cohesion, maybe they get a few more reps together than it is for the offense this game?
For me personally, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. I mean, yeah, they may have a couple more series out there and everything. That's fine. But I still think it's going to take till week 8 till we know where this defense is at. So I don't think a couple series in preseason is going to make all the difference in the world in it. I still think they're going to be feeling stuff out of what these guys are capable of for 4 weeks into the season. I think they're still going to be figuring out their identity until you get to about week 8. So, I mean, a couple series to me, it may help in terms of evaluating a couple guys that you may want on the roster to join the 53, but I don't think it's the difference between a Super Bowl or not.
Speaking of the Chiefs roster, be sure to check out kshb.com/Chiefs, where version 2.0 of Nick Jacobs' 53-man roster projection is up now. Definitely worth your time to go read that and see how Nick thinks things are going to shake out here. And we go over, and he goes over in a little bit more detail some of the fallout from these veteran roster moves that we've already talked about here. Herb Miller, do you think he's a guy that's going to factor in? You know, you talk about, you know, first 8 weeks. I think Rashad Fenton, Herb Miller, and Mark Fields right now are kind of the three guys that are in that mix probably for those last three roster spots at cornerback, we assume. Yeah. Obviously, knowing that one of them probably gets bumped when Morris Claiborne comes back from suspension at some point. Herb Miller, I mean, where do you think he sits?
I personally, the way I'm viewing it is I think Charvarius Ward, Herb Miller, and DeMontre Wade are kind of battling each other to see who's going to be the other outside corner. And I think Ward's kind of the front runner in terms of having had more time and more reps. I mean, you're hoping Herb Miller can come on strong here in the next 2 weeks and solidify a roster spot overall. And, I mean, Wade kind of seems like he's taking the back seat to the two of those guys in terms of the reps that they were getting against Pittsburgh. So, I mean, Herb Miller needs to have a strong performance and be able to also show that he can be special teams contributor, and we'll put it that way. If he can be a good special teams contributor, and then they'll just have to go from there.
Well, let's hear from the man he's trying to impress, Steve Spagnuolo, on one Herb Miller.
I'm thinking about Herb back when he was here with just the rookies, and then so we had a few days with them, then the vets came in, and at that time I didn't know all the faces. I remember heard a loud voice in the back. It was like he was kind of, you know, enthusiastic and assertive. And I look back, and it was Herb. And where I'm trying to go with it is it wasn't too big for him right from the beginning. Like, he didn't have any problems stepping up in there and doing his job. He's vocal. He's not afraid to make a mistake. I recognize that right away. He's got a long way to go, but I think he's done some good things. He's an aggressive football player, which we like.
That's Steve Spagnuolo talking about Herb Miller, and it sounds like he's a guy, a glue type guy. Does chemistry matter with this group? I mean, do personalities and the way guys mesh matter, or do you think this is strictly about who's the best football player?
I think you're not at a point in the scheme where I think you're too deep into it to where you kind of got to factor in that chemistry. I think you're in the early infancy stages of where this defense is going to be. So, I mean, you want guys that are going to work well together, obviously, and be able to play the coverages and be able to communicate with each other. But you really want the best players possible, and you can work all that other stuff out.
Yeah, although it sounds like, you know, if intangibles matter, it sounds like Steve Spagnuolo is a big fan of Herb Miller and his intangibles.
Certainly possible.
Nick, we've been doing this podcast for 13 months now. Do you ever feel complacent? Now, I mean, do we ever come into a week and you're just not feeling it, and you know, you don't want to give 100% to the podcast?
I still do, but I mean, I am hungry sometimes, right? I do need to go do my job downstairs.
All right, well,
in the studio.
If you need a pep talk, let's hear from Patrick Mahomes about complacency and the Super Bowl and why should you be ashamed, sir?
Who, me?
Yeah, I mean, until you win that Super Bowl, I don't think you can be complacent with anything. Being that close last year, I mean, you want to find a way to win it, and until you're able to do that and able to do it multiple times, I mean, you're never going to be complacent with where you're at.
That's Patrick Mahomes talking about how he's not going to be complacent. Part of me wonders, you know, we go back to the AFC Championship game last year and mm-hmm. the private moment that Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady shared, you know, locked away from the world. And a moment, I'm assuming, one of the most profound moments of professional pain, certainly for Patrick Mahomes at that time. And you got to imagine that talk, you know, about the drive and what it takes to consistently be in that position was part of that conversation. Not that Patrick Mahomes, look, he's a guy who seems to have done and said all the right things throughout this process, but you love to hear a young guy who, you know, shows the leadership qualities he does, and he just seems to get it. He seems to get what it takes to be, or to at least to try to become a champion in this league.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. If you kind of go back and you scroll back a little bit and get in your DeLorean to the Back to the Future, maybe, and go back
88
in time.
Miles an hour, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, we're going. We don't need roads right now, Todd.
Never do anyway.
All right. I don't want to hear any more about that. But you had a lot of people that when Patrick was coming out in the draft, you had people saying he had awful footwork. He was this, he was that, that this guy was going to throw a lot of interceptions, that this guy wasn't going to be this, or he wasn't going to be that, or he's going to be like Jay Cutler. Some people trying to compare him to that. And then when you get to training, you know, when the Chiefs make the move and then they go on from Alex Smith to Mahomes, and people are like, why is Andy Reid doing this? He shouldn't do this. Alex Smith's done this. And then when you get to training camp, then people move the field goal post again, and then they want to say that, well, he's going to throw a lot of interceptions, he hasn't thrown a touchdown, hadn't done this, hasn't done that, he takes reckless shots, and then when he gets there, you know, and he has those big games against Pittsburgh and some of the other teams, and people still like, oh, Pittsburgh's
Chargers
this.
Right out of the gate.
You know, Chargers are this, Pittsburgh's this. You know, people keep moving that goalpost, and then guess what he ended up doing? He had 50 touchdowns, he won MVP, and he shut them all up. Plain and simple. That's what he did. He went out there and he shut him up. So I don't hear, and now the chirping is going to be, well, can he beat Brady? Can he beat Belichick? And that's fine. We can keep adding on the goalposts, move them as far back as you want to. That's fine. But at the end of the day, this football team, they believe in what Patrick Mahomes tells them. There's been times up at training camp where a receiver may not complete a route, and Patrick lets them know him. No, this is what we're going to do. And the thing I said on this podcast back in January, and people disagreed with on Twitter, is whenever people kept saying, hey, well, no, I want to win the AFC Championship. I want to do this. I want to do that. I just wanted them to get to the AFC Championship so they had that moment, so they had that ability to know that they're capable of getting there, because I knew that defense wasn't going to hold up. I mean, that's the reality of it. That offense and Mahomes and that will took them that far, despite having one of the worst defensive schemes in NFL history that I've ever seen. That's just the reality of it. So, because of that, Patrick got to have that moment against Brady, and he got to taste what success is like and how close it can come. And that's going to be the driving force for him this year, as long as he's healthy and on the field, and for this football team. This football team believes in Patrick, and they believe in Andy Reid. They believe in Steve Spagnuolo. They believe in Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu. So all those guys, they're the ones that are going to lead him to the mountaintop this year, because at the end of the day, the mountaintop is Belichick and Brady. Those are the people that if you want to be the man, you got to beat the man, and those are the grown men up there at the top. So that's what your focus is this year. And if they, hey, guess what? If they get toppled, who cares? You go out there and you do what you got to do, and then you get to the Super Bowl. But at the end of the day, Clark Hunt already set the tempo in the franchise episode when he said that the goal is to get to the Super Bowl. Anything else is pretty much a failure. I don't know if he said exactly like that, but that's how I ended up interpreting it. So, I mean, this team's all in. They're going to go on in. They're going to do what they have to do. But as Patrick said, no, complacency is not a word that exists to them.
All right, I got nothing more to add. We'll take a break here on 4th and 1.
Action Sports with Mick Schaefer. Clear, complete coverage.
Cutting the cable cord? 41 Action News is now on Roku. Search KSHB. Add our channel and you're set. All of our newscasts stream live. No other station in Kansas City can say that. Get clear, complete coverage on 41 Action News now on Roku.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. Everybody take a breath.
I will not take a breath.
It's been a while since we had a good Nick Jacobs rant. I just wanted to let that sucker breathe.
Well, I'm sorry.
It's been a while since we've had one on the podcast.
Yeah. They've been Chiefs related. I'm tired of move the field goal post wherever you want, man. He won MVP. You got 50 touchdowns. He's going to win some Super Bowls here at some point. So. That's fine. Keep moving the goalpost.
You got to admit
make that a T-shirt. Keep moving the goalpost. I don't care.
What was the theme that I don't remember. Tom Brady had and Julian Edelman were.
I don't know. Dangle that carrot. Who knows?
Yeah,
I have no idea.
But you got to admit, after that Super Bowl between the Patriots and the Rams, Chiefs Rams 2 would have been a much more exciting Super Bowl to watch.
Chiefs Saints would have been awesome.
Well, maybe we'll get that here in
I hope so.
In 2020, and then one of our producers here, Nathan Pike, we can collect his tears as trophies later.
I told you that's not acceptable. You don't say that out loud publicly to people.
Nathan's a Saints fan.
I know. So. Sorry about that, Nathan.
Yeah.
So
he knows. I've already told him.
I'm sure you have, and that's embarrassing. Now, you ready for another edition of Check the Tweets?
I'm always ready.
First one comes from Jed. Who's starting at guard, Irving or Wiley?
I'm assuming Wiley. I mean, Wiley played better than Irving. When he spent time at right guard last year, he's been working as the number one at left guard. I don't see why you would bump him from that spot. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
All right. Now, Paul asks, biggest surprise of camp in the preseason? Could be good, could be negative.
You know what? I'm going to say Darwin Thompson. I mean, he was a little guy, late round pick, weren't sure what you were getting. And I honestly think that by midseason, he's going to be the number two guy at the very least. Look, if Damian Williams gets hurt and you've got to feature a back, Darwin Thompson's the guy I'm putting in there right now. So yeah. I'd say Darwin.
Next question comes from Jason. What is your biggest concern on offense and your biggest concern on defense?
I mean, on offense, I'm always going to worry about the offensive line, you know, because protecting Patrick Mahomes is so paramount. I'm always going to worry a little bit about wide receiver depth, but the tight end position, I mean, Kelsey's getting older. You don't want Kelsey, you want to protect Travis Kelsey because you want him healthy at the end of the season. Like, it doesn't matter what Travis Kelsey does in September if he's not available for you in the postseason. So that position concerns me a little bit. I'd say the tight end depth.
And Jacob asked, how much longer can Colquitt hold off Jack Fox?
Look, man. At least one more day, son. At least one more day.
And then our final question comes from Matt. Will the Chiefs be over or under 12 wins in the regular season?
I'm inclined to say either 12 or maybe a little bit under. I would probably, if I were setting the line, I would set it at 11.5 because I think they're going to be at 11 or 12. And so I think that's where I would probably set it. You also got to remember, like, injuries play such a factor and different things like that. But I think that, the Chiefs were 12-4 last year. I think there's a good chance they can repeat that.
All right, Todd. Well, that is all for this edition of Check the Tweets. And if anybody wants to make a T-shirt out there called Move Those Goalposts.
Do you need royalties?
No, I'll buy one, though.
Well, there you go.
I don't care. I just want to buy one.
All right. Talk to Charlie. I hear he hustles.
Oh, boy.
Say goodbye, Nick.
We'll see you, Todd.
Thank you. Thank you very much.